League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
As we looked over the not-so-frozen tundra and the cold gray skies of Houston, Texas, as we get ready for Wild Card Weekend, Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans getting ready to take the field against the Oakland Raiders. And the quarterback led by Brock Osweiler. Hey, guess what? It's snowing in Houston. And so we had to bring the music out in the sultry tones of the NFL films because people are freaking out. They're seeing some flurries and they're thinking, oh boy, look out.
Houstonians are not used to this,
break
man.
Out the salt and the snow plows. It could get nasty around here.
I may not make it home. I might crash into something.
I got in my car. And you know what? Sometimes it tells you like the conditions. And they have like a picture right next to the speedometer, a digital picture of like the road with a big snowflake. And it's like caution. I'm like, are you serious? From what I've driven in my whole life, come on, man. But hey, supposedly on the northwest side, Nick, it's snowing.
Yeah, northwest Houston. I'm seeing people on Twitter tweeting out at northwest Houston. I know Keenan mentioned Livingston as well. But in terms of Houston, I'm seeing on Twitter, northwest Houston is
we are a one-stop shop for everything because we give you entertainment, sports news, weather reports. I'm giving you the weather at the frozen tundra this morning. I've got my amateur meteorologist telling us the fact that it's a minus 11 and with the wind chill, it's minus 21. We got them all rolling for you. Hey, and on the same token, Keenan, it is not an FEF Friday unless we get a guy that's capable of dropping an FEF right in the middle of a segment. Troy is somewhere in cities unknown, on the road, not going to cuss, and he's going to talk Texans. Troy, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Troy?
Oh, just a couple of things. Was playing in the Texas Hold'em tournament last night, watching the Rockets, and man, regardless of what they do, they're exciting to watch.
Yes, sir.
Right now.
I agree.
It's awesome.
You probably had more fans at the Texas Hold'em game than the Rockets had at their game, right?
Yes, sir. We did. We couldn't hardly play cards because we were too busy watching the game.
There you go. That's a good thing to hear.
Yeah, and the Texans, I think the fans are behind us, behind them. But everybody, I think in the back of their mind, everybody's waiting for you guys to come on Monday and talk about, and you're going to open the show with, the Texans got beat, and I'm behind them. I'm fixing to go in and start cooking. I'm watching the game. I'm excited about it, but I think in the back of everybody's mind, Monday's conversation is going to be, we got beat by a third-string quarterback. What are we going to do different, knowing that we're not going to be able to do anything different for another year?
So what you're telling me, Troy, is you're behind your team, but you're behind them with a sledgehammer and a snowplow, and you're ready to run them over because are telling me they're going to lose.
No, I don't think they will, but you're talking about all the fans that are not behind them. We're all behind them. We want them to win. Okay. I want them to win.
I'm hearing a lot of, not just on the radio or on Twitter, on social media, you know, in my neighborhood, going to the grocery store, wherever we are, I'm getting a lot of feedback from, I just can't believe in this guy, and so I don't give him a chance. And you know, Keenan, Travis, guys that have been through those wars and in those huddles and locker rooms have said, look, the main thing is you are dying for a chance to be in it to win it. And once you're in it, look, he's your guy. 17's going to be behind center, so you go with him. But I think the fact you got the number one defense in the league right now has to give people more hope than I'm hearing.
And we are. I think that's what I'm getting at. I think the fan base is behind them. It's kind of like we're setting up. It's hard to explain. Yeah, sure, we're behind them. I'm going to root for them. Everybody else is going to root for them.
All right, well, you keep the sledgehammer down, the snow plow put away. Don't put it on the front of the truck. And then make sure that you keep all your cussing for the living room while you're watching the game so that we can talk about it on Monday.
Oh, I've been good. I've been good.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
All right, see ya. Richard, you want to get in next. Richard, what's up?
Yeah, man. I just wanted to give give my take on the Texans real quick, man.
Go ahead.
For starters, man, no one. I agree with you because no one's giving the defense any credit, man. Everybody just thinks Brock's gonna go out there and lose this game, but I'd like to look at it from the flip side and think the defense will win us this game, man. All season we've had dogfights, and we just won those dogfights, man. And it seems like nobody's giving this defense any credit.
Okay, Mac, you good with that?
You know what? And you're right. I mean, the defense has kept this team where they needed to be.
Right.
And that's to be a champion, you know, an AFC South champion. So now they have to continue to do the things that they've been doing all year. I think if they can continue to do the things they've done all year and get just a little help from Brock, just a little help from that offensive side, they could be going to Foxborough.
It's the definition of game manager. Don't hurt them, help them. You know, keep the ball moving. Don't try and do too much. You're not a scrambling quarterback, so stay in the pocket. If it's not there, throw it away. Let Lamar Miller be Lamar Miller. You know, take what the defense is giving you, but don't put them in a position, like we said, where the field position game suddenly starts being won mm-hmm. by the opponent, and then all of a sudden your backs are against the wall, or your defense really can't do what it needs to do because it's pinned, or they're constantly in the red zone, and you're constantly on your heels. Those are the kind of things. I believe that if Brock can just manage the game and avoid turnovers, the Texans, I think, can win this game. I think they should win this game.
I mean, I think they should, too. I mean, if they just get a couple plays from their playmakers, I mean, it doesn't have to be a bomb. It could be a short pass, long run, or a handoff and for a long run. So I think if they can get a couple plays from their playmakers, their defense will hold down the fort.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing, too. You remember, during the season, it doesn't take much to get Lamar Miller in open space, and he can go. You just got to get him the ball, whether it's a wheel route and it's a bailout and you're just dumping down, or you just hand him the ball and the blocking's good enough to open up a crease. He can do some things, you know? Yeah. D-hop, like we've said all year long. Don't make it a 30-70 ball, but a 50-50 ball that's only a 5-yard pass could turn into a 20, 30, 40-yard gain because it's D-hop. Fuller's got some speed. Brock has overthrown the deep ball all year long, except for a couple early in the season. Fuller can run under it, but don't be looking for it on a regular basis. But when you kind of lull them to sleep by trying to pound the box and do some things, hey, that'll open up too. Just make sure you put enough air under it that the kid can run underneath it, and maybe you can score big on one big play. Just don't hurt them with turnovers. Yeah, so we got a couple. We got a full board filling up here, but we'll get to Quentin next. Quentin, you want to talk about Texas? What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, good.
Great listening to the show.
Appreciate that. What's going on?
Hey, I'm listening to you guys. You guys are talking a lot about how Brock started these, 15 games or 14 games, whatever it was. But if I recall correctly, I mean, if it wasn't for Novak, I think it was three games where they scored nothing but field goals, and Texans wouldn't even be in this situation. So, I think you're right. As long as Brock doesn't turn it over or anything of that sort, if he can just get Novak close enough, I think Novak will put it over the hill for us.
Okay, we appreciate that call, man, and that's a good take.
That's Mac, what you've been saying.
Yeah, I've been saying it all along. Nick, before we skip on to a break, let's get one more in there. Let's get Emron up. Emron, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good, good.
So I wanted to chime in a little bit.
Okay.
I am 95% behind my Texans.
95?
5% that I'm not behind is because of Brock Osweiler. If I may reflect on the first game against Jacksonville, Brock Osweiler did have two passing touchdowns, but both of those touchdowns were set up by one by a special team play and one by, I believe, a Lamar Miller run. So the special team has to play at like 150%. The defense has to step up. Like, everybody else on that team needs to step up to compensate for Brock Osweiler's incompetency, pretty much.
All right, man. I mean, look, I don't know what you think about that, Mac. I mean,
your 5% got to go to the other 95% to make it 100%, because you know what? The Texans are going to need everybody tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, every
all
fan,
hands on deck,
all
man.
Hands on deck.
There are no tomorrows.
There's no tomorrow, so you got to put that 5% into the team. Because you know what? If you don't, if everybody is, if you're leaving something out, that means the Texans have a possibility of losing, and there's no tomorrow, so they'll be going home. They don't want to go home. They want to be going to Foxborough.
The visiting team is sitting there waiting for those opportunities. What you're leaving on the table, they're snapping up because they're going, we got a chance to get these guys on their heels in their own building, and then momentum comes on over to our side, and then we're in the driver's seat, and that's definitely what you don't want if you're a Texans fan. So we got to watch that. Jeremy, Johnny, we're coming to you. Hang on 1 second. Right now, I want to tell you about Gallery Furniture and my man, Mattress Mac. He has taken care of me and my furniture needs for over 23 years, and he can do it for you, too. The holidays are over. That doesn't mean it's not time to take care of you. You got gifts for others? Why don't you get yourself a gift? How about a Macapedic mattress so you can sleep like you've never slept before? They start at $19.99, and if you buy one, you get an $800 Gallery Furniture gift card right off the top. So you're saving money just like that. Mac is the king of featuring all American-made solid wood furniture, whether it's a two-for-one recliner deal or Macapedic sleep sets, or how about living room furniture made in America from leather to all the latest and greatest materials that you want to be in your living room, your family room, or anywhere where you're going to relax and watch the big game, or like Keenan watch his soap operas during the day when he's busy trying to figure out why the world is turning as it turns. Gallery Furniture, the largest selection of living room furniture made in America, or solid wood dining room tables and chairs. It's all at Gallery Furniture, and you know what Mac likes to say? You buy it today, you get it tonight. And the home theater seating, it's just incredible. Whether you get something that's already on the showroom floor and you got to get it for the big game, or you want to get special order upholstered furniture made to fit your home theater, it's all at Gallery Furniture. And the convenience now is better than ever. Three locations in the Houston area, Grand Parkway and Highway 99, also Westheimer and Post Oak in the Galleria area, and of course, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. No back order slips. You buy today, you get it tonight. Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's an FEF Friday, and it is definitely been a good day. They just brought in the birthday cake for Keenan McCardell, so we know how to do things around here. We take care of our family, and F is for family, just like it's F for FEF Friday. And we've been talking football. We've been having some fun, and we've got
and
some...
And it's Snowflake Friday. We got some flakes out there.
The frozen tundra of not-so-Lambeau Field, no NRG Stadium. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit chilly, but of course the roof won't be open, so no one cares.
I know, it's...
Perfect football weather.
Perfect football weather. Run all day, coach. Just give me the ball.
No question. How about the fact that weather report is perfect for the Seahawks, and if you're looking for the upset there? 37 degrees, 56% chance of rain in Seattle. So that doesn't do well for a team that plays indoors like the Lions. That's something to consider. By the way, Tiffany Blackman, another CSN alum, is another NFL Network correspondent. So James Palmer and Tiff.
So NFL Network just jacked everybody from CSN, basically.
No, they did the right thing because CSN jacked them first.
Oh, I'm all for it.
They got screwed without a screwdriver or a toolbox, and they all landed on their feet, which is fantastic.
I was part of that.
Yeah, you were too. I was too because I was part of the working for the ownership group that knew exactly what they didn't know what they were doing. Okay, so let's get back to more phone calls while we got a chance. Let's go next to Steven, who wants to talk about Brock. Steven, what's up, man?
I'm just calling in. I want to set the record straight with some of these idiots here in the Houston area. Brock Osweiler really hasn't had that good of a season, but let's be serious. We didn't draft an O-line, so we've got no O-line to protect him and give him the time of the day. And we've got no skill position outside of Lamar Miller and D-Hop. Without that, how are you going to conduct an offense that's going to be productive? It's not. Our defense is stellar, and really, we're going to rock the Raiders this weekend, and anybody who's not 100% in is absolutely a fool. And I would take any bet that anybody wants to lay that the Texans will win handedly.
Steven, are you on Twitter?
That's it. Go ahead and talk on.
Are you on Twitter, Steven? He hung up. I was going to say, if he wants to back that up, he should just tweet us, and then he could be Vegas Dave.
Well, he pulled a dropped the mic on us.
I think he dropped the mic because he didn't want to drop his pocketbook in case they got a little bit out of hand with the bets. But I appreciate what he's saying. I like that. If you're not in, then get the hell out.
Yeah.
Because at this 100%. Point in the year, you got to back this team 100%. You got to be behind them from a noise and stadium perspective. You got to believe that everything that they're doing is for the one lone goal, and that is to win the game. And as long as you believe that and you do that, then you're doing your part to try and help this team.
Well, I know a couple fans that live in my neighborhood. They're going to be out at 5:45. They're in line for tailgating. They can't wait. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. I mean, because I'm looking forward for the Texans to come out and play hard, show people that this is the reason why we're in the playoffs. And Brock has a lot to prove right now. And for him, for his career success, this game hinges very big for him. And I think he'll respond.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the big thing too, because people, we've talked about this before. He's going to be here regardless next year unless someone is dumb enough to make a trade of a lifetime.
But is he going to be here as a starter?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But at the same time, just because he's on the roster doesn't mean he's going to be behind center. And this game goes a long way towards what's going to happen next year, because you brought up a name that's very interesting. If Jay Cutler is willing to play for his pay, come in at a reasonable price knowing he's got a chance to compete for a starting job because there's not that many in the league, you take a guy like Jay Cutler and say, hey, everything else around you is set up to win. If we know you're coming at a reasonable price and we don't have to worry about all the money we're dropping on Brock, and we can maybe bolster the offensive line a little bit, do a couple tweaks here and there, now you got a competition where if Brock doesn't win it, it doesn't matter, because you got a guy who's got NFL experience that understands. He's been to the NFC Championship game. He's been in the playoffs. He's won games. Look, he might not be the poster boy for quarterback in the NFL, but he's better than average. And if he understands game manager with the defense they have, he could do some things. So this game goes a long way towards next season, not just the playoffs this year. It's going to say a lot about what they do off season, draft, free agency, and then going into next year, because I don't think there's any doubt one way or another there's going to be a quarterback competition going into training camp next year on Kirby.
Oh, definitely. It's definitely going to be a quarterback competition. And the way it's panning out, it was a quarterback competition at the beginning of the year. It just was a political
decision. You know, hopefully at some point we can fight through all of that mess, because if James is backing it up that, you know, he believes in Jay Glazer. But the bottom line is, you know, whether it's there or not, you know, the one thing you don't want to see is that there's just such a rift that it's you can't fix it, and one guy goes away, if not both. Because if you're starting over from scratch, we talked about this the other day, and you weren't in, and I wanted to get your opinion on that too. But that's just like setting the franchise back a couple years. You got new systems, new terminology, new playbooks, possibly changing the system from West Coast or 3-4 to a 4-3 or vice versa. I mean, you don't want that if you can avoid it. I think that's why Denver's looking to try and keep Wade and the defense intact, whoever they hire as a head coach. So you want to try and avoid that, but it sounds like it was a lot worse than I had ever heard it was. Maybe they didn't always get along, but I didn't think it was as bad as it was, and everybody's saying now, yeah, it's been bad for a while.
Wow, I mean, they covered it up very well.
Without question. And so let's hit some phones, the full board still going. Steven, you're next. What's up?
Because I dropped the mic on y'all.
Hey, man, when you dropped that mic, you know, we thought you were making a statement. But if you got a Twitter account.
Well, I was making a statement, but I am not on Twitter, but I would take any bet on that.
Yeah, I don't know how to get
it. That's simple.
But I'm saying, man, I got Twitter accounts that are lining up trying to get to you. They want to make a bet. But we appreciate the love. We appreciate you calling back. And, you know, we appreciate the fact that you're supporting your team 150%, because that's what you got to have. I believe K is up next. Just the letter K is on my board talking about Brock. What's up?
How you doing, man? Just calling. I'm a Denver fan here and was just calling. And, you know, it's interesting to hear about a lot of the Texans fans. And I think that's the difference here. The Texans fans, you have an opportunity here to go out, win a game. You got to support your guy. You got to ride with Brock. I know he got some issues with not recognizing some defenses, but he had some of these issues over at Denver. What I am saying, the Texans fan, rally around this guy, support him. He's still essentially a rookie in my eyes, in a lot of people's eyes. But the Denver fans, we supported him while he was there. So what needs to happen here is, look, get out the negative comments and go ahead and support your guy. you know. And as far as Cutler, don't do it. He's going to ruin your locker room. You got a good locker room, don't bring Cutler in.
Okay. And what did you see in Brock that you noticed when you were a Denver fan and he was your quarterback?
Well, one of the things that I noticed with Brock is his delivery. He's tall. One of the things that we were working, where they were working on with him was he doesn't deliver over the top. When you don't have an over the top delivery, the accuracy is not there. When you deliver from the side, you're committed to whatever side that you that side that you're trying to throw to. Those are some of the things that, hey, you're paying these coaches a lot of money. They need to step up. They need to help this guy and rally around him and point out some of these things. And, hey, you're in the playoffs. We're not. I'm going to ride with him because not only that, because I think he's a good guy. He got good character. Hey, he got issues. But I do believe if you rally around him and the defense got to do their part, he'll show up.
We appreciate that, man. Appreciate the love and the information from a Denver perspective. That was a great call. Kay, don't be a stranger. We appreciate that. Kev, we see you. We're coming to you. We have about a half hour to go in the show. We want you to be a part of it. Kevin's waiting to get involved. You can too. 713-780-ESPN, where you can text us or call us or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4 o'clock. It's Nick. It's Keenan. It's Joel. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel, Keenan McCardell on his birthday, and Quick Nick as we head till 4 o'clock talking about Texans. We've had a full board. We've had people chiming in, and everybody seems to be focused on number 17. I keep telling you guys, and at least the last couple calls have been kind of behind us. Mac's been backing me up on this. It's too late to worry about Brock Osweiler. You just got to go out, play the game, win the game, support him, and do everything you can to have a home field advantage for the game. So without further ado, we'll try and get through all these calls. Kevin, you're next. You want to talk about Brock. What's up?
Good day.
What's up, man?
I think it's well documented that we know Brock is basically terrible. But from a player standpoint, when you realize that you probably ain't going to get any better, you see your body of work, and you basically stink. How does a player look at that from the inside, looking out, you know, at his own self? I mean, is he confident? Or, you know, what, I mean, when you know you're bad, what do you do about that from a mindset?
I don't know. I can't tell you that. But, if I'm talking about bad. But you know what? I mean, he knows. You know, he has to step it up. I mean, most of the players that I've been around that have been through some bad stretches in their careers, you know, are just trying to find a way out. They're just trying to find a play or a couple plays to get them out of their funk and to get them back on track of playing the way that they know they should be playing. And they know that, you know, his teammates expect him to play. You know how his teammates expect him to play. So, you know, he needs some good things to happen for him. That's what I was saying. You know, when a player has confidence against certain teams, you know, it tends to help him. And he's had some confidence against the Raiders. So I think, you know, he has to have something good go right for him. Whether it's a short pass for a long touchdown, or it's a long pass for a touchdown. So he has to have some good things happen to him so that confidence can get going.
Kev, appreciate the call. Don't be a stranger. Jason, you're up next. What's up?
He tell you about that every day?
Jason?
I'm home.
Jason, we're not going to tell you about that every day. We're going to tell you about that today. But you got to go quick and you got to be ready to go. What's up?
No, okay.
Hey, Nick, let it go. Let's just see where this goes. He might be a grocery list. He might be at a drive-thru.
He's gone. I don't want him to say something and I have to worry about dumping him, so I dropped him.
I know you're worried about the itchy trigger finger. Yeah, come on, man. Jason, if you want to call back, you got strike one. Don't be a Richard and don't be a Roberto. We're sitting here with a half hour to go on the show, Mac, and we've got some other things we wanted to get to. I know you were keeping your eye on a lot of things NFL-wise, but one of the things I wanted to get to was LeBron went out and said they need a point guard. And I said all along the Cavs are a piece away. And I didn't. And when everybody heard that, said, well, they already got Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. I'm not saying it's a big piece, right? But I'm saying
they need a point guard?
I don't think so. But I know that because you don't need a starting point guard.
Yeah,
but you need
depth.
You lost Dellavedova. You need someone to back him up. Williams was way on the downside.
The guy I would have reached out for is DJ Augustine.
That was a good fit.
And it still may happen at the trade deadline.
Yeah, because he signed with, is DJ up in Toronto?
Is it Toronto or Memphis? I'll find out.
Yeah, but
that, I think that's a great fit.
Regardless, at the start of the year.
Backup point guard.
Yeah, they need a backup point. The rookie is not ready. The kid that they got out.
He's at the Magic.
Yeah, and.
Believe me, he would love to get out of Orlando.
Yeah, and I understand that. But the move that they're working on making right now is Mo Williams and Mike Dunleavy Jr. Going to Atlanta for Kyle Korver. With J.R. Smith out, Kyle Korver gives you what he loses for you, which is perimeter shooting. And then when J.R. Smith comes back, you got a perfect Paxson / Steve Kerr-like player to come off the bench to do nothing but light it up from the outside when they're at full speed, as they hope to be for the playoffs. So I think it's a good pickup for the Cavs. I think Korver was a little shocked. I don't think there's anybody more shocked about this move than Dwight Howard, who thought he was going to Atlanta to go to a team that's going to compete for a title, going to be a competitor in the East. He was shocked. They asked him about it last night. Does this mean that this is not the team that you signed up for? There was about a 6 to 10 second pause. Dwight's never good at trying to sound politically correct, and he was not happy. So the Cavaliers are adding Kyle Korver. They're trying to, and on the flip side, it seems like Atlanta may be cleaning house. If that is the case, Paul Millsap has got to be on deck ready to go. If he's available, there are going to be teams that can make a difference. And this is why everybody keeps asking me about my postseason. I said, I don't want to make any predictions on postseason for the Rockets or anybody else till I get past the trade deadline so I can see what the rosters are going to look like. Paul Millsap right now is a difference maker. He is the difference in about five teams that are going to be in the playoffs in their being in it or have a chance to win it.
Well, I got a problem with Atlanta cleaning house, and you're fourth in the East.
Yeah.
I mean you're two teams away from being under the number one team.
Dwight Howard is kind of coasting over there. Yeah. I think he's just collecting paychecks at this point. He looked good earlier in the season, but I feel like he's kind of coasting. There might be something in him. I don't know. They might be in another rebuilding process. I don't know, but I just feel like Dwight
is coasting. They spent a ton of money on Kent Bazemore, who 2 years ago was the Summer League MVP with Golden State, but all of a sudden he got paid. They made the decision that Teague wasn't their guy, and they shipped him out so that Schroeder could be their guy. And I'm not sure that he's
been playing well.
He's a good player,
but he's not
there yet.
Yes.
Okay. Cephalosha is what he is. You know, Millsap and Howard, I thought was interesting. Dwight finally playing with a power forward that could score and do some things to take a little bit of the pressure off of him. They started out hot, but they have come back down to reality. But in a bad Eastern Conference, like you said, there's still a home court advantage, top four seed in the East, and it seems like they're getting ready to blow it up. If you're the Rockets, do you kick the tires and ring the doorbell of, not the back door, Barry, if you ring the doorbell of the general manager in Atlanta and say, hey, what's it going to take to get Millsap? Because Millsap is athletic enough to play the four in a Mike D'Antoni system, and he shoots it well enough, including from three.
Yes, he does.
To be the perfect complement at the four.
So who do you send to Atlanta?
We'll look at that when we get a chance. I got to look at the numbers because, again, when they send me a lot of stuff on Twitter, they have to realize, and they fail to realize, the kicker with anything that you do in the NBA is the trade has to come within 15%
of
going back and forth,
right?
Unless both teams are under the cap. So the big thing is, or the team that is taking back and isn't coming up to 15% is under the cap. So with that being said, you know, Atlanta's over the cap. The Rockets are right there. So you have to look at it and say, okay, to come within 15%, I keep saying to people, if anybody would take KJ McDaniels and Corey Brewer off your hands and you throw some picks in there, I would do that deal because you can't afford to blow up a lot of players from your rotation because you're not that deep.
Gotcha. Okay? Well, this is my other outlook on the Atlanta trade.
Yep.
Are they trying to move Tim Hardaway Jr. into the starting lineup? Because Tim Hardaway Jr. is averaging 11.
He's a good player.
He's averaging 11.5 points a game, and Kyle Korver was averaging 9.5 a game. So which way are they going? I mean, it's a situation where, as a team, they might say, we're better with the younger Tim Hardaway Jr., and let's get something for Kyle Korver, which they will get. They will get a backup point guard. That's a little over the hill, but he brings some veteran experience.
Oh, man. How about
you know, so I want to see what Atlanta's doing.
You're starting to get Paul Millsap, you're starting at 20 mil.
Ryan Anderson.
You can't trade him.
Why? Because it's his first year.
Yeah, it's his first year.
It's his first year.
So, and it's a player option for next year at 21.4. So I think it's out of the question because of the fact that that's just too high. But you're not going to break up your core group. There are certain guys that you just went out and got you can't trade anyway.
But you're not sure that they're blowing it up. I don't think just trading Kyle Korver means that they're blowing it up.
Now, to that point, Kyle Korver wasn't shooting it like he had been shooting it his whole career. Change of scenery might do him good. So you do make a good point there. But look, the rumor was out there pretty quick that they were willing to move Millsap. If you're going to do that, now you got to
believe
that
if
they move Millsap, you're blowing it up.
Right.
Right? So to get into that 15% range, you're looking at, well, Brewer's at 7-6, okay? McDaniels is at 3-3. So essentially, you're at 11 with those two guys if they're interested. You know what? Decker's only making 1-7. I think that's a good thing in this case because you don't give him up. Are you willing to part with a Trevor Ariza who's making 7-8 and 7-4 in the next 2 years?
If I'm Atlanta, I got the same guy with Cephalosha.
I think Trevor's better than Cephalosha. He shoots it better.
I mean, I just think I have that same guy.
Yeah, and Beverly's at 6. So, I mean, I just don't see, you know, benefit versus, you know, versus potential loss. I don't think that the Rockets can afford to make a deal like that. I just think that's too much. I think you've got to look at a guy with an expiring contract because we all know Daryl doesn't want to mortgage the farm to make a move, even if it's going to help this team because he wants to make sure he maintains his options going forward. So you look for an expiring contract or contracts that are soon to expire or are affordable. I just don't think that in this case that as much as Paul Millsap's a fit, financially he's just not. So we'll go from there. All right, we got TJ holding, we got Jason holding, we got more Texans talk to get to, and we got one segment to go and do it, so we'll do it next. This is ESPN 97.5. She likes it real
slow. My heart thumb, not from being nervous sometimes. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Keenan McCardell, and Nick Sharara on Keenan's birthday, and we are rolling right along. We still got a full board. We got to get more calls. We got to get him in here now. So, Nick, without further ado, if you want to tell Jason that you want a Whataburger with fries, a birthday cake for Keenan, and if anybody can get his dry cleaning to him, we'll get that too. Jason, what's up?
Hey, what's up? I actually want to apologize to you guys. I was actually picking my kid up from school while I was waiting. All right.
Jason, your kid called us like 15 minutes earlier saying, my dad's not here, so I need to talk some sports. So he was saying that Brock Osweiler was his guy.
He's a huge Texas fan. Brock is his guy. He loves the Texas. I'm a transplant.
See, I wouldn't lie to you. I'm telling you what he told me.
I don't have the Texan allegiance that the actual Houstonians have. Mm-hmm. I'm more realistic. So I kind of want to come to the defense of the guys who keep bashing all the people who don't have no faith in this team.
Okay, go.
All right. Go ahead.
What I would like to ask those guys, and I had this discussion online the other day, who has the Texans beat that's worth talking about? If you look at their record, yeah, they made it to they won their conference, which is what you want to do. You want to win your conference, but you're in a horrible conference.
No, they won their division.
So let's be realistic. You know, they're going against a team with a rookie quarterback. They should win this game. But I'm not going to get on these guys, the fans, for not supporting this team because what they put on the field, even though they are in first place in their conference, is really, it's understandable why they don't support the team.
All right, man. Jace, we appreciate the call. Look, we've kicked this around back, forth, sideways, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. There is a level of, or a lack of hope that's at a fairly high level in this fan base in this city this week, and I hate that. I hate that because, you know, I don't care what city you're from, if your team qualifies for the playoffs and the time is now, you just got to get behind them and you got to ride it out. So that's tough to hear. I hope that's not the case, that everybody's thinking that way, and he says that his kid's a diehard Texan fan. He says he's a Texans fan, but that's not the mentality I want to hear from Texans fans this week. But hopefully that's not the overwhelming theme. Bats, you want to get in here next? What's up, man? You want to talk about Brock?
What's going on, fellas? What's up, Mac?
What's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to comment about a comment that you said earlier, Mac. You was talking about how Osweiler
can get confidence from, you know, certain throws and, you know, maybe getting a long throw for a touchdown. But I wanted to ask you, man, don't you think that play calling has a lot to do with that? If you look at some of the plays that Bill O'Brien put our offense in, man, it doesn't breed confidence in your quarterback. So to me, as much as I want to have confidence and as much as I think Osweiler want to have confidence in himself, he's got to have confidence that his dang on coach is going to call some good plays to put him in position. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? It goes both ways. And a lot of times coaches try to call the plays that they like that the quarterback can execute, you know, and maybe Bill, Coach O'Brien has to have more confidence in Brock, you know, and I think right now they both have to have confidence in each other because there's no tomorrow if you don't call the right plays. So he has to call a great game, and I think Brock has to show him that he can execute the plays that he's calling before he can get a chance to you know, maybe push the ball down the field.
Bats, we appreciate the call, man, and don't be a stranger. We're running a little short on time. We got to get TJ in here real quick, who wants to talk a little basketball real quick, and then we got to get to picks before we get up out of here. TJ, what's up?
What's going on, guys? I don't know if you guys seen the article, but LeBron is kind of eyeing some of his old teammates, Norris Cole and Mario Chalmers, but they also put in that they're looking at the Rajon Rondo situation too in the Bulls. I want to get you guys odds on that happens before the season, that become Kyrie's backup.
I will say this. I'll say that his two ex-point guards in Miami, the chances I would put at 50-50 or better. And I would say with Rondo, I would put it down around 20-25%, and you got to be careful what you wish for, because here's a guy, for as good as he was in Boston, has been nothing short of a locker room cancer in every locker that he set foot in, and look what he did to the Mavericks last year or a couple years ago when they were in that series with the Rockets. It was a disaster, and that team had no chance of winning once it happened. Plus, you got to come within 15%. Rondo's getting paid at a pretty high salary. The Cavaliers, because of all their big salaries, because of Kyrie, Love, and LeBron, and Tristan Thompson, they've got to be careful. I just don't think they're going to give up or be willing to give up financially what it's going to take to get Rondo. One, and two, I don't think they're willing to take the risk that he could blow that locker room up. And as good as he could be, he could also be the beginning of the end for the Cavaliers in a season in which they can't afford to have that. So there's my take on that. We've got picks to get to before we get out of here.
Yes,
Nick picks
do.
Are normally a lot of picks, but we've got pretty much an easy four games, and then we'll get the early indication of what we got going on Monday night in college if we get a chance. But first and foremost, let's talk about the games that mean the most. Let's start with Nicholas today. Let's start with Nick and give us his early prediction on the first game of the day, Nick. It happens to be at NRG. It happens to be your Houston Texans hosting the Oakland Raiders.
The Houston Texans are favored, -3.5 at home.
But again, we always say the home team is always given three. That's a given. So where are you going?
For most of the week, I was thinking Oakland had enough to supplement for the loss of Derek Carr, but I'm going to officially give the pick to the Texans. I was going to pick the Raiders earlier, but I feel like...
Wow.
You're one of those fans that's backing your team. I like it, Nick. Way to turn the corner. Nice job.
But I always get. I feel like every time Keenan's on the show, I get this rep that I'm not a Texans fan. But
yeah, you should have been backing the Texans the whole week.
I think I picked against them three times this season.
I think you're probably wrong. But at least I'm going to go with Nick. I'm going to take the Texans. I'm going to take the Texans at home. I'm going to expect the defense to step up, and I'm going to expect Brock to be more of the guy we saw in the last game and a half than the guy that we saw all season long. I think he's going to manage the game. I think maybe he's learned a little something, but I think I see being at home and having that defense and having the first string guy as opposed to the third string guy being enough to get by the Raiders.
I'm riding the number one defense in the National Football League. Okay. I'm going with the Texans.
All right, we'll move it on quickly here. Lions and Seahawks. Seahawks -8 at home.
I'll tell you what, the spread's big in this game because I can see Detroit coming within 8.
Brooks gave me I had to think about something about it. He said the upset, yeah. But I know how hard it is to go into Seattle and play in the playoffs. So I'm going with Seattle.
To cover?
No.
See, that's what I'm going to say. I think Detroit covers.
I don't
covers.
Like to do covering. And
I don't like
and
to not, do all that but either. That's for the next show that is the self-proclaimed. I'm going to say that Detroit can cover if you care, but I think Seattle still wins the game.
I pick Seattle as well. Dolphins and Steelers. Steelers at home -10.
This is a runaway, like Brooks said. I'm picking Big Ben and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown.
And here's the thing. If the weather's anywhere close to the way it's going to be in the upper part of the United States and you're coming from Miami,
it's going to be chilly.
It's going to be a factor. I'm going to take Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh should easily cover 10.
Yeah, I'm easily picking Pittsburgh as well in a game that is not sold out yet.
The Green Bay Packers
at home minus four and a half.
I think they're paying 10 or 20 bucks an hour to shovel. You can get up there in time to make some extra
cash. Happening. Never shovel snow, ever.
You guys already know. So you don't even have to. I mean, look, everybody knows where I'm going. Fun, so you Nick. Guys call. And I already know where Keenan's going just to get at me, but go ahead. Pick it.
Go ahead, Nick.
The spread, Nick?
I'm picking the Giants. Minus 4.5 for the Packers at home.
Okay.
You picking who?
I'm picking the Giants.
We all know who he's picking.
Right, yeah, I'm picking done. The Giants. I think Eli, this is the time you trust Eli right now in the playoffs.
I am picking the worst secondary in the playoffs right now, but I am going to pick the Giants.
Of course you are. I knew that. All right, so guess what, guys? Enjoy yourself. We'll be talking on Monday. I guess we'll hold the national championship game.
No, we got
the national championship game.
Yeah, so the spread
because you're not going to be here on Monday, so all right.
Clemson, Alabama, minus 6.5.
Ooh.
I'm telling you what, for some strange reason, I think Clemson's going to show up to play, and it's not for the reverse booty grab.
We always say Vegas gets it right, but a lot of analysts are making Alabama the dog here.
See, I think Clemson's got a legitimate shot. And I'll be the first one to do it because I really just can't stand a lot of things with Alabama, the way they go about their business. I'm going to take Clemson.
Nick?
I'm taking Alabama 100%.
Oh,
I'm not betting against him at all. Nick Saban?
Roll Tide!
See, and again, you guys go with the mainstream, and I'll take a shot. So there you have it.
Clemson is not the mainstream now.
Everybody thought Alabama was going to run the table. Look, I said it all year long, so I understand that. But I think, hopefully, we get a game of it. The one thing I really hope for is it's a game, not a blowout, because those two semifinal games sucked. So
it's coming
down
to a coaching decision between Dabo and Nick Saban.
I hope it's close.
And who you're taking.
I hope it's that close. And I understand.
Who you're taking.
Look, let me ask you real quick before we get out of here. How big of a difference is that going to be with Lane stepping down and Sarkisian stepping in?
It'll be a little adjustment at the beginning.
Okay.
You know, just not hearing,
most critical game of the year,
Sarkisian
and you're switching coordinators.
Hearing Sarkisian in a headset. Then after the first quarter, they'll be fine. Everybody's going to understand because I got a feeling that Sark had been putting his input in even though Lane was still there because when Nick named the offensive coordinator before the playoff game.
Okay, so there you have it. There's some insight for you as well. We'll be talking Monday about the national championship game, I'm sure, because that game is Monday night. But you guys got a world of football in your windshield and nothing to worry about in your rearview mirror. You're almost at 5 o'clock, which means you're almost out of work, which means all you can worry about is wildcard weekend, heading up to a national championship on Monday night. It is football, football, football. And oh, by the way, the Rockets will probably play too. But hey, bottom line is have yourself a safe weekend, a happy weekend. Stay warm because I know you're freaking out about the weather. And get your Texans a win on Saturday so that you can be cozy and warm at home to watch the Packers win on Sunday. We love you guys. We'll talk to you again next week, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4, right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.